The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Buildup with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
All right, what's happening, everyone? We are getting ready for Game 2 of the San Jose Sharks season, coming off of that disappointing overtime loss to Vegas the other night in one of the most unusual endings to a game I can remember ever seeing. But you know what? The Sharks, just as they did last year, walked away with a point out of game number one, and now they have an opportunity to get to 500 and have three out of the first points of the season. So they have to see the opportunity, and we're going to see Sam Dickinson for the first time ever. Ryan Warsawski is not making any changes to his lines. His forward groupings were very good the other night in game number one, but now he's putting Shakir Mukhmudulin on the bench. I think there were some things that he didn't like out of that game, and he's giving Sam Dickinson an opportunity to step up and really show us what he can do. And, you know, we're waiting to see exactly how he and Misa are going to be managed this year. Obviously, Misa is not going to be making his debut tonight, but Dickinson is. So I'm excited to see what Dickinson can bring to the table, how comfortable he looks, and whether or not he can play with that professional poise that is needed in a big step up to the National Hockey League. I understand that every highly touted prospect has a high level of talent. I'm not going to deny that. But what I'm specifically looking for from him is for the ability to really look like he can stick to his assignments, know what he's supposed to be doing, not look like he's out of place. Those are the things I'm going to be watching for. He may not walk away with any points. He may not look like he is a tremendous player in game number one, but I'm looking to see if we do not see any grand errors from him, if he doesn't look overwhelmed, and I hope that 100% is the case. But really, I would like to see a lot of what we saw in game number one against Vegas in this game against Anaheim. The Ducks are a team that took a big step forward last year, a step that the Sharks would like to take this year, and I know that the Ducks would like to take another big step forward this year. So the Sharks are going to be tasked with dealing with that. So should be a good setup. I'm excited to see Beckett Seneca. I think that'll be something to pay attention to. Obviously, he and Sam Dickinson are old friends, so that'll be a good storyline. But mostly, I want to see if the Sharks can continue to do what they did in game number one and walk away with their first win of the season and not start the season with an extended losing streak like they have for the past three seasons. With that, though, I'm going to play an interview that I did with Eric Stevens of The Athletic. Really enjoyed what he had to say. Asked him a lot about San Jose, including his thoughts about where the franchise is at a 30,000-foot level.
You know what, Ted? To go off what Mike said, you know, I'm not so sure that, the teardown, I guess you could say, is complete. In terms of stripping it to the studs, yeah, that I believe is over. And I think with some of this offseason signs you saw, he definitely wants to make this a more competitive club. I mean, a step was even taken, I'd say, last year in terms of just being able to compete. And yeah, I would say that Mike and his group are finished with tearing it down to the studs. And I think that a step forward, another step or two, I mean, look, they're not there. The rebuild's not over by any means. And when you get to maybe say the deadline next spring, I mean, he's got a bunch of veteran players that are on expiring contracts. You know, you can see where, you know, there'll be decisions to make in terms of whether to keep some of them, but certainly he can be able to flip a number of those guys and get some assets for the future. But you know, when you look at it, this is to make it to be another step to turn some of those third period losses, those defeats where they were in those games but wound up losing, turn some of those losses into W's. And again, be more competitive and also see the growth that's going to continue to take place with what we know is the core pieces, Macklin Celebrini, Will Smith, William Eklund, you know, seeing where they take their games in this year, especially with the year two for Celebrini and Smith. And just take this forward in terms of, you know, just being more competitive, turning some of those losses into wins, you know, showing that there is a path forward for this franchise in terms of moving towards being one where it's going to contend. But it's still going to take some time, and it's still probably going to take a couple of years to get there.
The Sharks have never been huge players in free agency. The guys they've been able to get that are big names, the, you know, Brent Burns, Joe Thornton, Erik Karlsson, these all came by way of trades. Does that mean it is dependent on those core guys to lift this franchise up to the level of being in that playoff picture, to where maybe some more of these free agent guys are going to look at San Jose as a destination? Or does Mike Greer need to accept that reality that if he's going to get some other big names, it's going to be by way of trades, which I always say is interesting because once guys get to San Jose, they never want to leave.
No, you're right. They tend to make it a home, and why not? I mean, you know, Northern California, the Bay Area, that's not a bad spot to plant some roots, right? You know what? I think some of that is going to be contingent upon, you know, this season and that growth. I think that there's firm belief that Macklin Celebrini is the franchise face and going to be the leader of this club going forward. Maybe he won't wear the C this year, but I think that's going to become an eventuality at some point here. And there is fervent belief that, you know, this guy not only is going to be a star, but could become a superstar. The franchise bedrock that, you know, an NHL organization needs. And so when you see him, when you see some of that young core, when you see some of those, you know, the guys like Michael Mesa and Sam Dickinson, you know, join that core that's being built, you know, some of the prospects that are going to be fighting for spots here, they're fighting for spots now, but really more realistically next season and the seasons beyond that. When you see, you know, the proof is going to be in the pudding in terms of the results. And if you see a growth pattern to where now maybe say they're winning maybe 30 games this year, you know, 25, 30 games this year. And then beyond that, where they are, you know, starting to play, you know, games of consequence there in March and even early April, that becomes a real attractive point, you know, for them. And then that's where I think you see, you know, free agents that who come up at the time. Now, all of a sudden, look at San Jose and see, you know, I think some of it's already maybe even taken place because of that belief in Celebrini and Smith, et cetera. But, you know, you got to win in addition to that. And so those, you know, when those free agents come, those proven free agents, you know, those, you know, bigger name guys that can be sort of top of the lineup type of guys to augment this core, I think that's where they're going to be much more attractive in the future in terms of, you know, when they come up for deals, now all of a sudden San Jose is going to appear on, you know, lists for players in terms of consideration.
Do you think that, not that there's any correct way to do a rebuild, but when you look at the way that Mike Greer has gone about it, and maybe it was in a twisted way, maybe even aided by Logan Career's career, you know, being cut short in a cruel way, but the way he's gone about it to where all of the faces now from the previous generations are gone. And I would even compare it to the Kings, who are, they were able to do the retool, but now they have to figure things out again with Kopitar retiring at the end of this season, wherever this season leads them. But, you know, the Sharks are in a completely new era, completely new faces, completely new names. How do they not get caught up in that perpetual rebuild, though? And I'm not trying to pick on anyone, but, you know, the fans in Detroit are impatient. In Buffalo, you know, they are almost nihilistic at this point. I mean, I just don't know. And I say this because there is no quote unquote path to properly rebuild. If everyone knew how to do that, that would be the only path, but there's a million different ways to go about this. Sometimes you draft Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. You know, sometimes you know, you end up having guys in later rounds that turn out to be stars. I mean, this is the big question for every franchise. And it's not just hockey, it's all sports.
Yeah, no, you're right, Ted. There is no sure thing. You can only think and hope that you can come to that sure thing, you know, as close as you can. You're right. The Connor McDavid only comes around once every, I mean, it's like Haley's Comet in a way, you know. But I this is why I think it was just so important for the Sharks to land Celebrini, because mm-hmm. I think he is close to that, or you know, he is that one where you can sort of put a franchise on his shoulders. I mean, he, you know, there's just kind of a maturity beyond his years, and you. Yeah. You know, you talk about, you know, you see the people who rave about his play. Sidney Crosby, who many, you know, maybe start to draw a line to. He just raves about him. I mean, it's possible that if he has a roaring start here, he could be in that mix to make Team Canada for the Olympics. He's going to play in an Olympics at some point, whether it's next year or 4 years down the line. But so you have him. And then maybe in a Sam Dickinson, you might have your number one D, potentially. Yaroslav Askarov, if he grabs that number one role here this year and shows like he can be the guy, you know, to be the lead goalie for the next several seasons, then you're sort of quote-unquote set. And at goal, you're set at goal in terms of your number one D. You're already set in terms of your number one center. So you have at least the foundational pieces that you can build from. And so that's where I think, you know, in a way, Mike Greer has kind of nailed it, you know, in terms of that, in terms of, you know, he's got a deep pipeline. You know, we gave him a top ranking, you know, certainly at the Athletic. So, you know, you've got that there. Now, a lot of this is the easy part in a way. A lot of this is the easy part. It's now being able to build up from that and build around those pieces. That will be the tougher part. But, you know, I will say this. I think Mike has checked a lot of the boxes so far that you need to check when rebuilding.
In your piece with Ryan Warsawski, I was just curious of your – you know, read on him and his coaching and the situation that he's inherited. And one of the things I always look to is that he was not hired because he is such a young guy, but it certainly doesn't hurt when you have someone who is in their mid-30s who's dealing with, you know, guys that are 18, 19 years old and are potentially the face of the franchise. And, you know, in Macklin's case, a lot of people say in the next, you know, face of the league. And I know that, you know, Warsawski would probably agree that he has a lot to prove, obviously, and help this team go to the next level. But, you know, it's very different as opposed to, you know, if Coach Q was here in San Jose.
Yeah, you know what? I think Ryan, you know, is the right choice, you know, for this this organization, this franchise, particularly at this stage. Mm-hmm. That, you know, that you've sort of outlined. Whether he will be the right guy when it's, say, time to make that next step toward, you know, that contending phase, I think that remains to be seen. But, you know, I'm a believer in him. You're right. He's got, you know, the youth to where he can, you know, connect with, you know, the young players that are already on this team, that the ones that are going to be making this team going forward. But I think, you know, his personality, I think is one too, where, you know, veterans are, will respect him as well. You know, I think back to, and we joked about it a little bit in conversation, but remember when he got fined last year, you know, for arguing with the refs and arguing calls whatsoever. And he said it to me and point blank, he's going to have the backs of his players. And he at that point, you know, he didn't mind having to, you know, maybe, you know, deduct from his bank account, in order to do that. But I think that probably sent a message there, you know, to you know, to players of all ages on this club that he's going to have their back. He's an emotional guy. He does not, he's never denying it. You know, some of that Boston mindset kind of comes out from time to time. And I think that people appreciate that. So, you know, I'm a believer in him. I think he's sort of, you know, wise beyond his years. Yeah. You know, the tougher, you know, and in a way he's in a good spot right now where everybody understands where the Sharks are at right now. Mm-hmm. And even the fan base too, you know, they understand that it was laid out clear. And I think there is a patience, you know, that, you know, people are going to want to see, you know, him grow along with this group here, you know, at least to that point to where, okay, now it's time to compete. And now you're going to really, you know, there's going to be more of a focus on his coaching acumen, whether in games or, you know, being able to manage a group over 6-7 months here. But again, I think he's the right guy at the right time. And I'll be curious to see how he grows as an NHL head coach along with this group.
When you look at, you know, some of the veterans that have come in, like Tyler Toffoli, like now Jeff Skinner, Ryan Reeves, I'm curious if, as I try to figure out what the Sharks can do this year, and I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I mean, they're always could. I'm just not betting on that. But I'm envisioning a scenario where, because they are so young and so excited and they can kind of get out over their skis a little bit, but in a good way, I would not be shocked if October, November, December, they were above the playoff line, if they were exciting and had people buzzing and then petered off as we got deeper into the season, because you and I know that the NHL in October, November, December is not the same as January, February, March, even if the schedule is going to be a little bit weird this year. But you see that happening as well? Just the Sharks, you know, riding that, you know, jubilation of youth and then catching attention, but kind of petering out, because that's a scenario to where people, I think, would see some of the growth they want to see, but also understand they're not quite there and set up a productive deadline for Mike Greer.
Well, you know what? I think it's kind of contingent upon, you know, some of those veterans that they brought in performing at a high level here, you know, that, you know, they're not coming here, you know, just to play for a paycheck, essentially, you know, that they're here to, you know, even enhance their own status, you know, right. Whether to remain with the club, or, you know, perhaps, you know, be shipped to a contender, you know, at the deadline, you know, or their next contract beyond this year, you know, I mean, there are things to play for, you know, here for these veterans, for guys like Nick Leddy or John Klingberg, like you mentioned, Ryan Reeves, to, you know, to be able to continue in the league, you know, and Adam Gaudette, you know, as well, you know, so I think if they are performing at a high level, you know, with Tyler Toffoli, you're going to get 25 to 30 goals. Yeah. That you could just write that in pen. But, you know, for some of these other players to be able to, you know, perform well and play out at a high level, you know, if they're able to, you know, get some wins in October here and just kind of hang around, even, you know, even when you get to, say, Thanksgiving, and they're at least, you know, they're just not buried right out of the gate. I think momentum is a huge thing here. And, you know, the longer this group is maybe around, say, 500 around Christmas time, maybe even the new year or whatsoever, you know, that just breeds confidence. That just breeds, you know, that it you know, and within the room, you know, and you can never underestimate how much confidence can propel not only individual players, but an entire team, you know, there. So I think it's possible, you know, certainly they're going to have more than 52 points. I think that's just a guarantee. Now, how much more? Is it 10 points more? Is it 20 points more? You know, I think it's certainly possible that they could get to, say, 75, maybe even 80 points if a lot of things go right here. I don't know if they'll get there, but this is a season of an advancement for the Sharks here, and no doubt. How far they'll advance, that remains to be seen.
Stay tuned to the Sharks Audio Network for more of that interview with Eric Stevens of The Athletic. All right, go time, 7 o'clock, pregame 6:30 right here on the Sharks Audio Network as the Sharks take on the Ducks in game number 2 of the year. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yen.